And sweeter as the days go by. How many love him tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim is coming to minister to us now. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Connor. I appreciate the opportunity to minister tonight. And how many remember the sermon I preached on March the 15th, 2009? I'm so disappointed. I preached on the secret place of the Most High. I'm surprised y'all forgot that. I mean, it's just like yesterday. Matter of fact, that was too much before Claire was born. So it marks a very special time, see, for me, and I guess that's why I remember it. But one of the things, and what I want to speak about tonight is the presence of Jesus Christ, and it's very similar to that, whether it be a secret place or a special place or just getting in the presence of the Lord. How many understand what I'm talking about? The presence of the Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit, being in His presence. So you understand, you know, but the secret place always reminded me of Brother Watson singing Shut in with God in a secret place. I remember the anointing and the feeling, and I just, you know what? I knew that there was a lot of times where he had experienced that. How many's experienced that too? Amen? Praise God. We know what it is to be in the presence of the Lord. How many's ever been in a service where everyone was just overwhelmed and just worshiping and having a time? And I know we've been in meetings like conventions and camp meetings and youth camp and all that. We used to have a time at youth camp. We tore it up, right? And I wasn't part of the music or anything. They made me sit out in the audience, and so that's where I was at. But I felt the Spirit of God out there, and God really moved mightily. So I want to talk about the presence of Jesus Christ, and I want to start with a joke. You see this right here? How many knows what that is? Becky? Well, it's a...
That's the prize you get for being the first to the sound.
Ah, good. So that's my prize. That's my trophy. Well, actually, what I want this to be is a present. A gift. A present. Remember that. A present. Today I was reading to my this is the joke. Today I was reading to my kindergarten class from Revelation chapter 7 and verse 1. I told the kids that the people were in Jesus' presence and that we will be in the presence one day, His presence one day. Just then little James, aptly named, interrupted me to ask, "Is Jesus going to put us in a box?" I had no idea what he was talking about, but he continued, "Is he going to wrap us up and put us in a box?" he asked again. "You said we were going to be in his presence," P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. I knew that would take a lot of work, I really did, but I thought, you know what, I don't do very many jokes, and maybe that's why. That's the reason right there. I would have Now, when I read that, I laughed for half an hour. I'm sorry you guys didn't get it the way I did. But anyway, we want to start with the book of Hebrews. We've been studying the book of Hebrews. In the side room here, we have the Ark of the Covenant that Brother Don Dryden built, and we've been using that to kind of illustrate, like this illustrated my poorly chosen joke. But that one illustrates well. That's an exact replica, exact size of the Ark of the Covenant. And inside that ark was the manna in a gold bowl or vial, and the Aaron's rod that budded, and the Word of God, the commandments. And so it represented God's presence. And we've been studying Hebrews, and what the writer is trying to accomplish is to absolutely nail the fact that Jesus is the better sacrifice. and that Jesus is the better high priest, and that Jesus is the better covenant, and he's the one that left us the best deal in town. How many's ever received $1 million in a will? Me neither. But I've received life eternal through Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's better than $1 million that you can blow through or buy a, in this area you could buy a tract home and, you know, there goes your $1 million. But in what we have with Christ is so much better, and it will take us throughout eternity. I want to sell you tonight on the presence of the Lord because I think it's the neatest thing we got going. Amen. Think about heaven. How many, Bobby and Terry and us went to Hawaii. I think Bobby and Sherry were there, but they chose not to do what we did, right? We went to a presentation of a timeshare. We saved $80 on the whale excursion, right? We saw the whale, so that was cool. So that I like all of that. Man, we saved $80. The next time I'll pay the $80 and save the 2 hours and the lying people that said we're not going to really put any pressure on you. They plan to put pressure on you, and they plan, oh, you're in a wonderful paradise. Wouldn't you like to have a piece of it? And so, but I want to tell you what. Heaven is that paradise all the time, forever. I mean, we might, if I owned one of the islands, we might be able to enjoy it for another 20 or 30 years, and pretty much that's going to be it. But heaven is eternal, and it's forever. And it's going to be more beautiful than any island in Hawaii. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Brother Connor, would you ask a blessing on this message, please? Amen. And you notice I asked blessing after the corny joke so that God knows we're serious now, right? And we're serious because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil that separated the holiest place from the next to the holiest place was torn asunder. And there was an opening into the presence of God like had never been seen before and could have never been seen until the blood of Jesus Christ was spilled out on the cross. And so this is our invitation to come in, to draw near. If you notice when God speaks to us, he says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. The invitation is always come a little closer and I will come closer to you. And God's not looking. I appreciated Brother Connor's message this morning about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because Jacob represents, how many kind of feels like, yeah, I'm Jacob. Maybe not the greatest of faith like Abraham, or I've always thought of Isaac as kind of a, he's so quiet and he didn't do too much, so he didn't get in too much trouble. Jacob, on the other hand, he was out there, so he did get into trouble. He made some mistakes, but at the end of it, God changed his name and made a nation of him, and we can appreciate that. But it's so good to know that God doesn't look at our life and say, you're not good enough. He's not said that to anyone. I really want to make you understand that no one is excluded for any reason. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what your family has done in the past. None of that matters. It's absolutely anybody that'll draw near to Jesus, he'll draw near to them. So we have a great opportunity. And I want to say this to you, Christian. How many's been a Christian more than 20 years? I could go higher, but you know what? We're going to be nice tonight. And but there are some that have been Christians a mighty long time. And guess what? Nobody is closer to the Lord than you are. You have the same opportunity. It always amazes me by these great holy men that come along and think they ought to tell you exactly what you should do. You know where you need to get that instruction from? The Lord. Now, we get preached to every Sunday, and it's wonderful ministry out of the Word of God. It's whole, it's complete, it's spiritual, and it's what we need. But there is something else that we need, and that is to hear God for our own selves. Yes. Amen. A lot of people are real proud about what's going on in their church, and they act like if you don't do it like our church does, then you're not doing it. You know what? I don't care about what's going on in their church. I really don't. What God is doing in their church is good for them. And I'm not, I was going to name some churches, but I'm not going to, because there's no sense in being ugly. But there is a church way up in Redding that has some good things going. But I say, you know what? Thank the Lord for them. But Lord, what are you doing in us and in our church? It's more important to me how the Spirit of God is moving here than how He's moving anywhere else. We mentioned a while ago some needs that people have, and our God is able to meet the need of every individual. And they may not be here all the time, and they may even go to another church, and that's all right. I have family members all over the country. But when they need something prayed for, I try to pray for it because I believe God's in that. But we have an opportunity, invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, if you want to scroll back to Revelation, chapter 3, verse, I don't know, a couple of verses here. If I get, if I see you're getting bored, I'll just read the whole thing. Well, if you're bored anyway, might as well get the scripture in there. Sometimes I think that, you know, a preacher will get an idea and he'll think that's the best scripture for right now. And he may read two or three and it may not be the main emphasis that touches you. It may be another one. The Word of God is great. It can do all kinds of neat things. So we'll start with verse 7 and I'll keep an eye on how you're looking. And, huh? Revelation 3. This is the Philadelphia church, the church of brotherly love and the favored church. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Nobody's shouting it. So, okay. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. I'm going to go ahead and read this, not because you're bored, but because I think I need to. So indeed, they'll worship before your feet and know that I have loved you. Sometimes people think that they're the only ones that's loved. But I want you to know, Jesus loves you. Each and every one of you. You know what else? He loves the whole world. He loves people that are not even from here, but somewhere else. He loves us all. It's amazing, the love of the Lord. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. Now, I think this is referring to a time of tribulation, that the Lord's going to keep us from that tribulation, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly, and hold fast to that which you have, that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which shall come down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him a new name. Verse 13 says, he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I want to read that in the message. That verse 13. And it says, are your ears awake? I like that. That's kind of cool. Listen, listen to the wind words. How many understands the wind in relationship to the Spirit? The wind, the Spirit. The Spirit's blowing through the churches. I believe today that the Lord is speaking to churches, and as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, there's going to be a lot more individuals that are going to be excited by the words that Jesus is going to speak to them. I do think that there are people that are discouraged. Well, Lord, we've been praying a long time. And what I want to say is be encouraged, because the Lord isn't done yet, and there's great answers that are ahead of us. And as we have faith and as we keep... You know what God said about this church? He didn't say, man, you guys are spectacular. You do everything. And you're so awesome. He actually said, you've got a little strength. But you've used that strength to be faithful to my word and to me. There's something about faithfulness. There's something about obeying the word of God. There's something about having respect for the name of God and the power of God, and realizing that in Pentecost... there's great power. How many knows that God's ideal for the church was to be Pentecostal? When Jesus, before Jesus left, all emphasis was on the Spirit of God. And he told the church that was, you know, that was kind of assembled, and even the ones that came after the power of Pentecost, he had given them a word to wait for the Holy Spirit. And so when the Pentecost was fully come, then absolutely Peter was ready to preach the great message that he preached. And you know what the people thought that were all around? Did they think, wow, those guys are really super sophisticated Christians? No, what they said was, you guys are drunk already and it's early in the morning. And then that gave Peter a chance to look back to Joel and say, no. These people are not drunk with wine that as you expect, but they are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what an awesome thing that if we can be faithful and we can be obedient, and it's all right to shout. So the memories. How many's memory, when I say shout, you think of a time. Amen? And when we say, dance before the Lord, I'll tell you the truth. I've never been much at even dancing before the Lord. I think I got burnt out when I tried to dance in fifth grade and everybody made fun. But if the Lord puts it in your feet, then you need to do that. How many believes it's okay to dance before the Lord? David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And that scripture there says that... he who has the key of David. David, and I know that a lot of people believe that's just all about authority. No, that's about being obedient to God, and that's about praising the Lord with all of your heart. And that's what David did, because that brings in the presence of God and the ministry and the power of God. I want to go next to... let me establish one more thing here. I'll try. Maybe we'll try to establish or not. But there's a door that the Lord has opened for us. And there's a lot of history behind this, of it being evangelism and missions and different things. But I want to bring it down to an individual level. Jesus has opened a door for every one of us. Our path may not be exactly the same as someone else. We may not... For years and years and years, I've defended Pentecost and let them be loud, let them be, you know, rejoicing and all of that. But there's also another side. There's some people that are very quiet. And the way they worship should not be minimalized, but actually, thank God that they're worshiping that way. When I grew up, we had a piano player that was from a different organization. Can't remember the organization right now. I probably could if I thought about it. But she was very good piano player. Very good. And she would get right with all of the songs. I remember one time, she was a very quiet lady. I remember one time when the church was really, people were shouting and worshiping, and this sister, Stiles, stopped playing the piano, which she never did, and she stood up, and she raised her hands about just like this, about even with her head, not even above, and I thought, wow. Because the Lord had really gotten a hold of her, and for her, that was a big demonstration. So whether the demonstration is shouting and dancing or just standing in awe and praising the Lord, everybody should have the ability to praise God the way that they feel. And let the Spirit of God deal with them, and no one really has a right to criticize anything. We are who we are, and the Lord blesses all of us in a different way. So, moving on to 1 Corinthians 2. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to cut back on this. I don't know when I started, but just because. This is Paul's reliance upon the Spirit of God. This is an awesome chapter. You know, it starts off with him saying that he didn't come with, you know, great words of where he's going, you know, great words of human ability, eloquence, and philosophy, and theology, but he came in the power of the Spirit. He said, actually, I purpose not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And not coming in the abilities of man. There's a lot of people today that come in the ability of man. And they have great ability, great capability. They're talented. They're blessed in so many ways. They can do it all. They can sing. They can shout. They can preach the Word of God. They can teach anything that can be done in church. They can do it. But a lot of times they're doing it in the abilities that they have, and they're discounting the Spirit. And what Paul said, I'm not going to do that. I think Paul realized, and Paul was a talented man. He was a great speaker, and he was a very intellectual man. But he said, that's not the way I want to come. I want to come with something greater than I am, and I want to come in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what I give you, I want you to be able to grow and go with that and be energized and be full of power. And so we come down to the ninth verse, and it's one that's real familiar, that as it is written in the Scripture, things which the eye hath not seen and the ear hath not heard, and which ye have not entered, has not entered to the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And this is in the Amplified Version, so it sounds a little different. And who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him, who gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. What, you know, what things God has prepared for those. But you know what? And I love that, and I've quoted that, and I've misquoted that. How many's ever misquoted that? It's easy to do because you get to thinking, well, that's all about heaven. That's all about what's to come. But in verse 10, it kind of sets us straight on that, for he says, for God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things diligently, even the sounding and measuring and the profound depths of God and the divine counsels that and things far beyond human understanding. One thing about our human understanding is we can entertain each other and swap stories and bless each other. We can do that. But there is a place to where only the Spirit of God can satisfy you as an individual. And a lot of times that takes place when you're at the end of your rope. Who's ever been at the end of your rope? You know, for that time, that's when the Holy Spirit of God can really come in and begin to speak sweet nothings in your ear. And actually, that's sweet nothings, doesn't it? That's what we do. When the Spirit speaks, it's not nothings. It's awesome power and blessing. And do you know that God can give you signs and encouragements and blessings straight from heaven? I know that we've called on the Lord, and I know there's been times that we've called diligently. We've had a need, and we've struggled, and we've prayed. I've prayed every which way. I've even backslid a little bit and prayed the faith guy, and, you know, claiming it and naming it and all that. And Because when you get desperate, you'll do about anything. The last couple of weeks has been the most trying time I've ever had in work. It's like Twilight Zone. And I've thought, well, we do the right thing, we do the best we can, but it's been like Twilight Zone. But I tell you what, the Spirit of God is able. And what I've purposed in my heart is to come before the Lord and just praise Him in the Holy Spirit and let Him work out all of these details, because it's so beyond me and beyond my mind. And the Holy Spirit is able to not only speak a word, He's also able to enliven the Holy Word of God. I've heard a lot of people speak about the Holy Quran. I don't see anything holy about the Quran, but I do see something holy about the Word of God, the Bible. From Genesis to Revelations is the holy book that God has given to us to enjoy and to be blessed in. But there are people who have studied that book so well and know so much about it, and yet they don't know the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, that's a great word not to have the input of the Holy Ghost into. Because when the Holy Ghost speaks to us and brings the word, one scripture, one word, a small scripture, He can bring it and just encourage and strengthen and bless us. You know, heaven and earth will pass away, but not the Word of God. We'll be enjoying the Word of God throughout eternity. I mean, you run into Malachi and he said, yeah, I wrote such and such. And you're going to say, wow, that's so powerful. That's so great. And some of the others too. Moses probably is a good one to talk to and see what, oh man, Moses, you wrote so much. And Paul, because he's significant as well. But the Holy Spirit of God is able to take people looking drunk and put enough power into them to change the world. The beginning of Christianity on the day of Pentecost. And there are things that you and I have, how many know a lot? Come on. You've been around a while. You know a lot about the Word of God. You know a lot about things and how things have happened and how things work. You've been disappointed a time or two, and so you know not to do that again. You may have made mistakes, but let me tell you what. When God speaks to your heart and plants something within your heart that will absolutely change your situation and allow you to grow and see victory. Anyone need victory tonight? For anything. The Lord is able.
Amen.
So I want you to turn to the last verse. You know, that always means we're getting close to the end. And that may be a great thing. So let's turn there, Jeremiah 33:3. And I've been quoting this a lot lately whenever I get a chance. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. I guess from the Amplified Bible. Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call to me, and I will answer you.
Amen.
That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? We've studied Jeremiah. We know that Jeremiah was a mess. Jeremiah was the least effective preacher in the whole Bible. He preached the truth. He preached God's word. And they treated him so bad. They beat him at times. They threw him in the pit, the deep miry clay. And yet, Jeremiah said, I'm sick of this treatment. If I'm not going to see better crowds, and you know, we kind of think, well, wait a minute, Noah wasn't that effective either, but Noah got him and his family out of it. But Jeremiah didn't get any help or any respect hardly at all. And yet God spoke to him and he said, Jeremiah, call to me and I'll answer you and tell you and even show you great and mighty things which have been confined and hidden. I like secrets. We started with secrets. How many like secrets? How many likes to hold a secret? Not Debbie. Can't tell her a secret. She don't like to hold it. Some people just want to blab. I like secrets. I like finding out things that I didn't know. I think that's awesome. And when we get to heaven, we're going to find out a lot of things we had no clue. But things that have been confined and hidden, which you do not know and understand and cannot distinguish. And the word call comes from a word that means to cry out. Calling out loudly in an attempt to get someone's attention. How many's ever done that? Hey, you! Right? We've called out. We've across the room, across whatever, we've called out, trying to get someone's attention. But what I've noticed throughout all that we're talking about tonight is when God hears our voice, call out to Him, it seems His promises are to hear and to answer. And I believe tonight that there are things that we have been working on, and we really want God to... How many has something special you'd like God to give you an answer to? I've got a number of things. I've been working the Lord overtime lately. Oh, Lord, what about this? What about... Lord, I don't know about this. Now, you've got to help me with this. Sometimes the answer doesn't come as quickly as we'd like it to. But if you think no one cares about where you're at or what's in your heart, you're wrong. God really cares because He sent Jesus and opened a door where you can go boldly into the throne of grace and ask anything you want. Debbie, you want to come to the piano and play Bless the Lord because that's a good song. There's other good songs, but I like that one. The Lord's laid on my heart lately. I've been saying, well, what do you want me to do? And He said, well, you need to pray for people to be blessed. And I said, well, I've got an idea. Why don't you bless me abundantly? And I'll go out and pray. And what I've not heard was, oh, that's a great idea. We'll do it your way instead of my way. And I'm kind of not expecting to hear that. But I'm expecting to hear that as we pray for one another, that's one thing I try to emphasize in our Bible study Wednesday night, really pray for each other. Because we need each other. We need to have each other's back, and especially in prayer. And I know there's great needs. I have five or six family members that, boy, need salvation in a bad way. And they need other things as well. And God's so able to meet that need. Would you stand tonight? And I want us just to come around the front. Let's join hands and pray together.
Salvation, all of us, and the world.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I listen to this song a lot, and when I go on YouTube, it says the best gospel song ever, something like their worship song ever, and it's one of the best. I'm thankful for that, and all songs that we have to glorify the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Father, be with your people this evening. May each one recognize that your Holy Spirit is there to minister. You have and you will be with your people and bring them back to your house. Be with them this week. May they find souls to witness to. May you lead them to good ground. Lord, we know it's you that builds the church, and our eyes are on you to do just that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Lord, bless you. Thank you.